today we're here with Carlton, Heather, and of course myself, Suzanne. So we're going to start with Carlton. Why don't you just say hi?
How you doing? This is Carlton.
I know we were talking before, and Carlton, talking about when you were explaining how it feels to be on the street. I mean, I think that's really powerful and people don't think about it. So if you wanted to just kind of start from the moment where you guys wake up in the morning, I think that'd be a good place.
Waking up for me in the morning, first thing I do is you got to get yourself together because your back actually hurts from laying on the concrete. It draws out your energy and all your fluids come out every night. So you constantly are urinating. Once you get up, you think about getting yourself together, making yourself presentable for the rest of society so that you somewhat fit in. And as people look at you, they look at you like you don't fit in. And I say it's humbling and it's humanizing, because to be out there to have that experience was something I actually prayed for. And it sounds kind of funny. I prayed that I would rather be homeless than to be in prison. And when I came out of prison, after doing 10 years, I was homeless. So in a kind of way, I was happy. So that's actually a good situation. And people look at you, they walk past, hold their head up. And if you look at them, you want to tell them, hey, you can still smell us. And if you slightly move toward them, you'll still see them move. So they notice you. So waking up is on the street is different than waking up in the house.
So you are on the streets and you went from being in prison to being homeless. Did you ever choose to go to a shelter?
Actually, I did. I had went to the bridge for a while, but I talked to people from different places. Some of them went to the Salvation Army. Some went to Dallas Life. Some of them go to the walk-in Austin Street. And we all have similar stories and some different. Some have success, some don't. And with me, it was unsuccessful because I ended up being banned from a shelter from not leaving off of a street. After one security guard told me to leave, I went to leave and the other one said I wasn't moving fast enough. She requested my ID, told me that I was banned and she wanted to take my picture. So I gave her the thumbs up, smiled for the picture, left and never thought about going back. And even though I don't go to the shelter, I still tell people it's a good place to be because I watch out for people where I'm at, but I can't watch out for everybody. I'm not Superman. So it's better that they actually go in a shelter where they can get something productive done with themselves instead of being out there with me.
We received your peers or typical night staying outside on the streets all night. So, Carlton, what about you? What does your typical evening look like? Do you have like a set routine? The library closed at this time. You go here to get dinner. You go to your spot where you sleep. How does your routine look like?
The first thing you do is you got to be mindful of everybody else and use the bathroom before you leave the library.
Okay.
The main thing. You come to the library to get away from all the stress and the problems, get away from all the men, because I'm tired of it too. And you come to the library because this environment here at this library is like a, I'm going to just say it, it's family, because the way y'all make us feel here, we feel like human beings when we come into this library, as though people on the street treat you differently sometimes. You have some people that care about you. Then you have some people that are trying to assassinate you and everything about you as far as your character wise, being homeless. They're the worst people. They're dirty, trashing, trifling. And I said, no, don't assume anything about anybody. Don't judge anybody. Don't generalize, categorize. If the person did something wrong, put them in that category. If he stole, he's a thief. If he raped, he's a rapist. If he murdered, he's a murderer. But every homeless person isn't a bad person. So in our routine, we're trying to follow a routine, but at the same time, get out of the routine. Once you leave the library, make sure you have some water. Always got to have water because the concrete absorbs electricity out of your body and it absorbs all of your fluids laying on your kidneys every night. Whether you big or small, you're going to urinate like I don't know how many times a night. So you got to have bottles so you're not doing it on the street because you don't want to wake up and smell it. You have the violence on the street, and I'm going to say that I'm not a bad person. I am a very violent person when I have to be, so I can deal with it. I grew up in it. I dealt with it with my mother, with my father. I dealt with it on the street. I dealt with it in prison. So violence, I'm not worried about that. I've had issues where people pulled guns on me and I wasn't even worried about that. It's the mentality you have. When you show fear, they're going to use that.
Say you have no violence, no aggression. What does your typical evening look like?
Come to the library, relieve stress. I like to work on my laptop and deal with music. I go watch some internet videos. I watch some called Cube Way. I'm doing a lot of laughing, so that's good for me. I talk to people. I help them with resources if they don't have any resources and tell them different places they can go. I always refer people to go to the shelters because if you can't make it on the street and you're not near me, there's nothing I can do for you.
So once the library closes, what do you do?
Then I go to my spot, which is right now is at the corner of Ackett and Young, and I keep my area clean. I don't urinate outside. I don't defecate outside. I don't harass people. I don't panhandle.
So once you get to your spot, what do you do?
I'm usually just sitting there and I say, God bless you and have a great night to everybody that passes. I sit down and talk to people. I get on my phone, listen to my music. I start writing my raps again. Then you have the people that watch you and sometimes I get irritated. So I'll say things indirectly, but they know it's towards them about watching me. Stop following me around. Don't watch me. And then I'm just there. But then there's certain places on certain days where we go to get food.
So you have a routine on certain days. You leave your spot.
Yeah.
And go get you something to eat.
Yeah.
And then go back to that same spot.
So I basically learned every day where to get some food at. Mondays, if you got a bridge ID, go to the bridge. You can go to Cornerstone, not on Mondays. You can go to Our Calling at 11:30. And then you can go from there to Trucker's Cafe up on Harwood and Martin Luther King if you want to walk that far. Right.
So that's your daytime routine. What about dinner?
Well, on a Monday, there's also a dinner now that I found out. The West End Church goes up to Austin Street on Monday around 7:30.
So you walk from here to Austin Street. Was it like a 45-minute walk for you?
Yeah.
And then you walk back?
Uh-huh. And I'm smarter, not harder. I got a wagon. So I make sure I can carry everything with me because if you leave anything behind, the city will tell you, you forfeited. They're going to take it because it's in the way.
10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night. By then, you're at your spot where you can stay for the night?
Yeah, I wait for it usually to turn dark before I put my sleeping bag down because I try to let all of the people walk past, you know, where I'm homeless, but I'm not in a way homeless. Even though I move my sleeping bag far, I feel as though if I put my sleeping bag down too early, it's like you're in the way. You're being noticed now, and you could become what they call a nuisance, public nuisance. And I've been seeing the nuisance abatement truck ride around. So I stay out of their way and I put it down at night. And I had a few incidents where I got tickets in the past for sleeping in public and that kept me from getting my place. So I've learned how from my mistakes and the mistakes of others, because experience is not always life's best teacher unless it's good. If it's a bad experience, somebody else's experience is a better teacher for you.
We understand that some of our homeless neighbors live with mental illness. In your experience, how does mental health correlate with being homeless? Or what kind of effect does being homeless have on a person's mental state and vice versa?
It's actually bad. I met an old guy. He's about close to 80 years old recently, and he told me he had seizures. Because I asked him why was he staring at me, and I didn't know what was going on with him, but he sometimes gets stuck. So it's not a grandma seizure. It's some kind of other seizure that affects his mind. And I think it's real bad for people to be out on the street with mental illnesses. And I always recommend to them to go into a shelter or some kind of place that's going to help them, some kind of transitional housing. They need that. I ran into a female and I don't know if I can mention her name, but she somebody asked me to watch out for her. So I watched out for her. The police told me something happened to her. So when I'm watching out for her, she sleeps beside me in her own tarp, her own sleeping bag that I provided for her. And I watched over. She slept for 2 nights. She woke up. I was trying to get some sleep. She wouldn't let me get no sleep. And she was scared to go to the bridge. She said her sister worked there. She had got me so upset, I told her to leave. She acted like she didn't hear me. And I said it the second time because she tried to jump off the bridge. And I grabbed her by her ankles. And she almost went over the Corsicana Street Bridge. And if she went where she jumped at, she would have been dead. So I scared her so bad that I scared her into the bridge. But then I went to look for her to make sure she was safe and okay. I tapped on the glass. I said, are you okay? And she held the paper up. She was going to Green Oaks. Yeah, she was going to Green Oaks. And then I seen her again after that day. It was a while, some months. I seen her again. And she was at Our Calling. I walked up to her. I said, you remember me? She was like, yeah. And she opened up her wallet and showed me she had her Social Security card, ID, food stamp card. She had a birth certificate. She said, I got everything. So it was helpful.
A couple of weeks ago, we had really, really bad weather here. And it was scary for me at home. So with that happening, I couldn't help but think about my homeless neighbors that was downtown or throughout the city that I work with that was part of that weather. Can you tell me how that night went for you? Because I know you were one of my neighbors that was actually out there, and I thought about you.
For me, it was very wet. Even with the tarp, the wind was very strong, and the wind can lift you up off the ground. As you'll find out, I got tossed. I got up and I was thinking that somebody was doing something to me because somebody was watching me earlier that night. So I'm swinging with my screwdriver, realizing it's all water going from different directions. It's like a real hurricane on a boat, and the trees were bending almost halfway over. So I get back under and I try my best to hold myself down on the ground, praying that God would stop the rain, because I said I can't swim. I know it sounds crazy, but that's how much water was coming down.
Right. I didn't even think about that. The streets are flooding and not being able to swim and the fear to go along with that. Would you say that was your worst weather you've ever experienced?
That's my worst weather I've experienced, because I can deal with cold. I can deal with heat. But that rain, it damages your feet. It damages your skin. It mildews your clothes. It destroys any electronics you have. So water is probably one of your worst enemies, being homeless. And being prepared for it, I thought I was with my tarp. My tarp wasn't enough.
Right. So I thought about that also. With the recent weather of storms, humidity, and tornadoes, how do you prevent your things from being lost in the streets of Dallas? You know, when you think about tornadoes and hail and storms, things are going to fly. How did you not lose your things?
I'm wrapped up around a tree. If the tree moves, I'm gone. That's the only thing you can. I have actually got ropes inside of my bag that people don't see that I tie up to my tarp, and I tie around a tree. So if I'm flying around in the air, if the tree don't go, I'm still tied up in my sleeping bag and everything is tied to the tree.
So what about the hail?
The hail, I just cushioned myself by putting a lot of my stuff over my head, because I had noticed that when I got up, I felt it. I thought I was being hit with rocks, but it was the hail.
Is there anything you could have done differently to prepare for inclement weather?
Most of the places that you would go are off limits. And the reason why I'm allowed to be where I'm at, or not bothered where I'm at, tolerated where I'm at, is because I clean up after myself. I don't disrespect people and I don't panhandle. So I sleep right out on the main sidewalk on Young Street. But if I go under a bridge, eventually your stuff will get taken because you're not supposed to be there. If you're around certain buildings at night, it is called criminal trespassing. So I don't want to get caught up in that neither.
In your experience, how do the community and shelters prepare for bad weather?
Well, most of them, they allow you to come in during inclement weather. And even if they don't have bed space, they'll make extra room. And once they fill up that extra room, they'll bus people to other places. We were at our call and they said, some of y'all can lay here, but if you want to lay on a bed or a cot, there are places that you can go and the buses will come and pick them up, or they'll take them in a van to these places.
For me, I can't help but wonder, with the bad weather that we had last week, that which I think was a mini tornado, but you know, yeah, they say it wasn't. Why come you didn't go to shelter?
Me, I prefer to be on the street because I like to get away from the problems of, not per se the institution, but other individuals that are homeless like me that like to keep things started. So I'm more of a loner anyway for me, and I cope better alone.
The fear of being around a group of other individuals that experiencing homelessness was greater than the fear of drowning in the flood water from rain or getting wrapped up in a tornado?
It sounds crazy, but you work so hard for what little you had and you're afraid of losing it. And us being out here, I admit it is stupid to be out in that weather, but it's just something that you do because you have to get away from the foolishness by any means. So you do what you can to stay away from that, because it can drag you down the wrong rabbit hole where you don't want to go, end up in trouble, end up in a place you don't want to be, where you have no control of your life. So it's better to sometimes stay away from them, or just go around them when you really have to. So when it's necessary, I do. Like if it got so severe that I can't handle it, I'm going in somewhere. I will go in.
Again, talk about the weather we had just recently. What about your neighbors that you see outside with you normally at night? Did you see them, or was it just you?
It was just me.
It was just you?
I was the only fool out there. I'm going to put it like that.
So everyone else went in?
Everybody else went in, or wherever they could find to go hide or whatever. And then some of the places they went to, they found out that even though they were under certain things, the weather was still bad for them because they weren't inside. So they had horror stories as well.
The next day, how did you feel?
Stupid.
Why stupid?
Because I'm usually outside with my tarp and my sleeping bag. Everything's inside. I'm usually warm and dry. But when you get up and think something going on and everything gets soaked. And then when you try to seal it back up, it's not sealing because the wind is pulling against you stronger than your own body. You can't stop it. The trees on Young Street where they halfway bent over looking like they're going to snap. I'm not stronger than the tree. I can't bend the tree over. So God proves stronger.
Well, I'm talking about once the weather passed, was you like, woo, I made it?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad I made it. Yeah, I was happy.
Okay. What about your friends? Did they come and see you and say, hey, Carlton?
They saw me in the library and I was soaking wet. I was dripping everywhere. They saw me like that. What else can you do? Some of them laughed. Some of them was like, I'm glad to see you made it. You know, why was you out there? Are you stupid for being out there? You should have came in. And some of them had the same story. Somebody was under the bridge and they tell you that a tornado coming through, the bridge is the best place. Well, the wind was so strong that him and his girlfriend slid all the way down to the bottom of the bridge. It blew them from under the bridge. And I was like, which bridge was y'all under? They actually were under the bridge that was over here. What is this street called? Like by Griffin Street. And they were under the bridge, but the wind went under because that wind was going every direction. And we could see the rain coming and you couldn't outrun it. It came down.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. And I'm also glad that we have a community that did things to open up their doors for our neighbors who are experiencing homeless. Places like the bridge and our calling and things like that. And I hope for you one day that you go to that place and get the services.
For me, it's some people have to do things that they really, really need. And then some people only need a little push. I'm the little push guy. I'm the guy who don't need much. I don't have mental issues. I'm not physically handicapped or disabled. I'm not a senior citizen. I don't have small children with me on the street. So people who are in those positions or females out here in a male-dominated area should be in these shelters that could help them and support them. But somebody that just needs a little help, a storage unit, and a bus pass, and whenever I'm ready, I can go back to work.
Did anything ever cross your mind? Let me go to the bridge. I know it can be weather time.
I don't even think I would have made it to the bridge that day. And I don't go to the bridge because if I'm in a bridge and somebody's in a bridge and they argue with me, even if I don't say anything back, they'll remove that person and say, you must be a problem. You have to go.
Carlton, what yes. do you do when, like, you know, like the last couple of weeks we've had so much rain. It's like rain every day, every night. How do you keep your stuff dry? Or is, you know, do you have like a place you go to like hang stuff up, or you know, do you run it under the dryers here?
Basically, I have another tarp somebody gave me because my original tarp got holes in it unless I tear it open and use the other side of it. And when it gets wet, I just have to hang it over the bushes and let it dry because it won't damage the bushes. It ain't breaking them, and all the water runs out and the plants get the water back. So it's transferring the energy that was given to me that I didn't want to something that actually needs it. At the same time, you have to have a tarp for wind protection, cold protection, water protection, and heat protection because you can leave it open where the wind blows through, but where you're covered from the sun. You got to have a sleeping bag because you need to be able to put all your stuff in your bag with you so nothing gets stolen because people like to steal. You have to also be able to put everything in there so that your area looks neat and you get up everything when you leave. And it also pads you laying on the concrete. And then you need some kind of way to transport everything. So my transportation of choice is a wagon. It actually works and it folds up. So if I come in the library and they tell me, hey, your wagon's in the way, can you move it? I'm like, yes, I can. I'll fold everything up, stack it real neat in the corner. And it all fit in about a chair space. So I've learned to be adaptive. I watched the nature shows and stuff growing up as a kid, so you actually know what you have to do to, I wouldn't even call it surviving. I would call it coping because surviving would be a war zone or a jungle somewhere. It's not really surviving out here. It's a mental state of mind. If you can deal with it mentally, like when I had a job, I had my storage. It makes it easier for you to have a place to secure your stuff. You can go get a job. Housing may be a little bit harder. That's the hardest thing for a homeless person is dealing with the weather, dealing with the attitudes, and housing. Those are the three hardest things.
So how, you know, you said you were talking about having a job and having a storage facility.
Yeah.
Like, how hard is it to get a job when you have this stuff with you, which is also, you know, like, I imagine there's like a pull between having your stuff and having a job.
Honestly, for me, because I've lost so much in life, and you could tell people who haven't had much in life because we hold on to everything, is definitely a characteristic trait that shows. I would choose having my stuff over a job. because it's the same thing with the shelter. Hey, you can't come here with all this. They went to a one bag minimum. Mm-hmm. Well, if you throw me out, then I don't have this stuff. Then I got to collect it all over again. Ain't no guarantee I can get it again. So I choose my stuff over the shelter. I choose my stuff over the job. Because I've learned growing up that if you have nothing, and it's, I'm going with the word too, take away from you even what you don't have. That means the ability to get it because you've given up on it. So you have to have something in order to get something. It takes money to get money. It takes skills to acquire new skills. So you have to have something. And if you give up everything you have nothing left. You got God, of course. So when I'm not working, I don't expect to get anything. That's why I don't panhandle.
So Carlton, are you afraid to change your circumstances that you may lose it all again?
In a way, yes, because you can't move ahead. If you got experiences where I was working, I had a storage, everything was good. I found other places to sleep when I was told to move and didn't have any problems. But then there's the attitudes of the others. The same people that told me to get a job ended up getting me fired from my job because I'm paying tickets. I met Miss Lisa from Homeless Solutions. And she told me I should have came to her. And I said, well, you said you don't work in housing no more, but I got a ticket. She said, well, I help with tickets. And I didn't know that. So the whole time I'm doing that, I had just met Antoine that was working here. And I had worked off a ticket here. And I was like, man, I could have saved money. I had a 2-bedroom townhouse. And my friend, she was pregnant. She woke up. She had somebody put K2 in a cigarette, raped her. She woke up out of the hospital 9 months later, pregnant. Don't even know who the father is. And we were going to move into Lakeview Townhomes. And it didn't happen because when it came around for it, I ain't got no job, I ain't got no money. And every housing that was on the list had the door slammed in my face because I didn't have the money for it.
You know, we've talked about sleeping outside, but I'm interested in how you get around. I mean, I know, Carlton, you said you have a wagon that helps you, but sometimes you probably need to go places that are farther than you can walk. So if you can just talk a little bit about how you get from one place to another, and if you have strategies or calculate risk, you know, like say jumping on the bus without fare.
I'm not a risk taker. I am a sure-footed person. If I don't have money, I ain't getting on the bus. I ain't getting on the train. I don't hop because by me being on papers, violation is 5 years. Anything is 5 years. So I've even told some people, you know, I can't go with you because I don't have a way to get out there. Now, if I have a job interview, there's places where I know I can go to get a bus pass because they know that you're going to do something legit. And I'll tell them I'll bring back a paper and the number of the person I contacted, which I did at the stew pot one time. And Ms. Laura wasn't my case manager, but she went and got it for me. So I brought her back proof and she called the person and let the person know that I really went, so that was good. But when you trying to get around, it's so hard carrying so much stuff. I carried it till I wore out my feet. The type of work I had, I walked to American Airlines. So having a wagon is the best thing that you can actually have. And the buses in Dallas will actually lower the bus down and tell you to strap your wagon in a handicap spot. They don't deny you. But if I went to Fort Worth, that wagon can't get on the bus. So there are places where a wagon is being denied. They say, well, you can break it down and get on the bus. Then you got to break it down and put it back. And it's like, it don't take much time, but I feel as though if I take everything out, I'm in a way.
With transportation problems or barriers, shelter barriers, Quartin, if you don't have your housing, you're not part of a program that can allow you to get your housing, what is your hope? What is your dream? What is your vision for the future? What do you see happening?
It ain't as complicated as you might think. I get all papers on the 17th at 10 a.m.
The 17th of what month?
This month, May.
Okay, so you'd be out parole.
Well, it's not parole. It's called supervised release. Parole is for state. When that's over with, I just have to pay them $50 a month whenever I start working. So somebody's going to hold my stuff for me. I'm going to go out and get a job. I'm going to go get my storage back, and I'm going to continue to play the lottery because I pray to God for a mad miracle. And should that not happen, I already, as you've spoken to me before, I'm going to save up $15,000 and buy me a house printer and go into business. That's feasible. You get off papers, you go get a job while somebody's holding your stuff. And right now, the convention center's hiring every day. They ain't paying much, but it's enough to give me enough money to get a storage to get a better job.
This may come off as being maybe a little confrontational to you, but if that's feasible when you get off parole, Why can't you do that same thing while you own, what about parole? Military supervision.
I can actually do it now, but see, I have this issue of pressure. I need you down here at this time, and if I'm not there at that time, violation.
So now you're talking about, so not only you have a barrier of transportation, the barrier of shelter, you also have a barrier of having to report because you are on mandatory supervision.
And this month is over with, so when I was working, I was actually still paying on my fine. So that's why I'm good with my supervised release, and I made my appointments. And when I couldn't, he was lenient. I talked to him about it. He came to see me when I was in our call, and he came to see me when I was in the bridge.
I appreciate you taking time out to meet with us and being a voice that we want to use to get the stories out. So thank you.
You're very welcome. God bless y'all and have a great day.